Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let's get our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 23. And I felt strongly about this topic last night. And even when I was praying here throughout the day today. And I believe God is here to help us on a Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. Did you come ready to have church tonight? Amen. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, verse number 8. I'm only going to read the first sentence. It says, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. We're going to skip down to verse 11. It said, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. That's a key sentence there. The people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. While you're turned there, I'm going to say that the key points there is everyone fled. We only are pointed out that Shammah is the only man that stood on this ground that might have seemed pointless, and he defended it and slew the Philistines. And it, obviously, defending a hill of beans is important enough that God thought we should put it in the Bible. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You can see that verse. All of those are spiritual. That's spiritual warfare. Every single one of those. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this is the verse that I want to focus on right here, verse 16. Above all, so most important, more, yes, it's important to have all these others, because the Bible says, take on the whole armor of God. But most important, you better make sure that you're taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. For a short little bit of time here tonight, not going to be long, but I want to preach to you this topic. Satan never sleeps. Satan never sleeps. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's ask God to have his way here in this service tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you and you may be seated. Amen. A lion is a master at hunting its prey. And it's when we think lions, we probably think of maybe some of the videos we've seen or whatever you were shown in school or something of a lion hunting its prey. And most of the time, because it's what the cameras can capture, it is in the daytime that the lions are hunting their prey in these videos. In the daytime, these lions are hunting and they're chasing down, whether it's a zebra or an antelope, whatever it might be, they are hunting. I went to a website, though. I even wrote it down for you. It's called Science in Sight. When lions are hunting their prey, a couple of the lionesses go around, and they are called flankers. And their job is to get ahead of the prey to try to shut them off. And the other lions, their job is to try to push the prey towards the flankers, if you would. And their job is just to wear the prey down, just chase them down and attack them. And once they attack them, that's not to be gruesome or anything, but it just says, you know, real quick, the lions will clamp their jaws around its neck and start shutting off the life supply of air. And usually their teeth sink right where their breathing tube is. And it begins to pierce the vessels and blood starts going down into the lungs. And it's a very quick death for the most part. They said it doesn't always end up like that. But it starts immediately shutting down the life supply of this, the air supply of this animal. As impressive as this is, as strong as these lions are, and as cool as maybe some of us, or sad as some of us think these videos are, or just the life of the lion, that is not a normal lion's trait. As a matter of fact, lions typically hunt, according to science, lions typically hunt at nighttime because their night vision is better than any animals in the jungle. Nobody else can see in the night like a lion can see in the night. Nobody can sneak through the jungle like a lion can sneak through the jungle. And pretty much before it's too late, he's already upon you. When the animal and the prey has let its guard down, the lion's already there. The animal thinks, hey, I got away this time. I ran my fastest through the day, but at nighttime I get the comfort in sleeping because the lion ain't gonna see me. Yet the lion is like, I'm in the comfort of my own home now. This is what I know best. They even said that lions get very hot. They overheat very quick. Sometimes this causes them to give up chases even faster due to the heat that their bodies can succumb to. And so at night when it's super cold or when it's really chilly, it enables them to just keep their bodies going. They can last a lot longer if it happens to turn into a chase. But most of the times, due to their capabilities of their impressive night vision and their stalking capabilities, it doesn't even end up in a chase at nighttime. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter, and you might be wondering, why'd you talk about that like a lion? 1 Peter chapter number 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. There are daytimes when the lion can roar, and there's even reports where a lion's roar alone can sometimes cause paralysis in an animal and they just freeze from the fear. Yet Satan is like a lion and he will come like a thief in the night. And if you're not prepared, Satan can catch you unaware if you let your guard down at night. It's so easy to sit aside when we leave the house of God and we'd be like, we're safe. We had great church. We had a great service. And you let your guard down when you walk through those two doors. But that's when Satan is in his comfort zone. That's when he's in his element. You've stepped into his world now and you've left your defense down here at church. We've got to keep our guard off even when we leave the church doors. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. The enemy does not play fair. Lions do not play fair. If you think about it, they even go after animals that really can't even fight back. Their best defense is just to run. I'm faster than the lion. That's all I can do is run. Yet when they're sleeping, there's no defense. There's no night vision. There's nothing. They just go to sleep. They let their guard down. They relax. And the lion sweeps in for the kill. Amen. In our text, Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10 through 17, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. It points out that we not to wrestle. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we are in a spiritual warfare. But most importantly, it says above all, meaning the entire of God is important, but above all of what we listed before, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit is the most important. We cannot afford to let the shield of faith down when we leave those two doors. And that's what I've come to preach here tonight. We have got to stay focused and carry the shield of faith when we leave the house of God. You might think it's time to rest. You might think it's time that we can let our guard down because the battle happens here. My friend, the battle does not end here. It continues out the church doors. And if you don't have your shield of faith, how are you then going to let the fiery darts of the wicked pass by you? You've got nothing to block the fiery darts because your shield of faith is left in the house of God. You can't afford to leave the shield of faith. Amen. Sometimes it's as if the church house, we all know this. It's just us tonight. We know the church is a place of rest. This is where we can come to rest. This is God's house. In essence, yes, battles do take place here. Spiritual battles can take place here. But this is the sacred place where Satan really is not allowed in the house of God. He is to stay out there. So when we need it most, even all more, our shield of faith is left in what we act as and treat as the armory. The house of God is not where we need to store our shield and our sword. Amen. You've got to keep your shield of faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 13 and 14. I'm going to talk about David for a little bit. We all know the story of David. David was a mighty man. David was a man after God's own heart. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it in two different places. 1 Samuel 13, 14 says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." This is to Saul. It says, "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people." Amen. Acts 13, 22 says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." David was a mighty man of war. We can look in Samuel chapter number 17 when David was still a kid, not even king. And yet he's out there killing Goliath. David had, if you will, his spiritual metaphor, he had his shield of faith. He had the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And when David stood before Goliath, you see him going against Goliath with the word of God. He said, "You come at me with your weapons, but I come at you in the name of the Lord." I'm telling you, it is important to carry your arms when you leave the church house. You don't know what enemies is going to come against you when you leave the church. Stay armed with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. David was a man that we saw worshiping God every chance he got. We can all remember the story when the Ark of the Covenant was coming home and David worshiped every couple of paces to the point where his own wife mocked him. She's like, "What are you doing? You're a crazy man." But David said, "There's something in my heart. It's not just over at the temple, but I'm carrying it out with me. If someone sees David, I want them to know that I'm a worshiper, that I love God with all of my heart. My spiritual life does not end in the church, but it goes out with me because I need it." Amen. Amen. David always made sure to glorify God. And you can read this in the Bible. For his victories. Yet there was still one time when David did not take his weapons to battle. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem." David let down his shield. David let his shield and his sword have a break from battle. It says, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. He was just strolling. He thought he was safe at his own home, in his own home, at his own palace. But yet he still let down his shield of faith. He let down the sword of the Spirit. And like I titled my message, Satan never sleeps. He's always looking for a time when you're at your weakest. He's looking for a time when you let your guard down. And as soon as that shield of faith drops a little bit, he's going to jump in and try to get you. David let it down and it bit him hard. It gave him life regrets. Do not drop your shield of faith, church. In Jesus' name. Can we worship God right now? Come on. Amen. This is why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. It's because he knew, not just because I'm not in a church building preaching, it's because I'm not in a jail writing letters. I know Satan is chasing me down. I know Satan's trying to get me, and I've got to keep my shield of faith up. That's why I continue to die daily. I've got to keep my sword of the Spirit sharp, and that's why I continue to die daily. It was not because the Apostle Paul thought he was better than any of us, but the Apostle Paul knew just because I'm the Apostle Paul does not mean that I cannot fall victim to the enemy. I know as soon as it drops, I might get struck, so I'm going to die daily. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I've come to preach a little bit of warning to us. It's not a coincidence that when we go to our jobs, if you don't have your shield of faith, it's not a coincidence that someone might come around always seeming to flirt with you. Whether it's a girl flirting with the guy or a guy trying to flirt with the girl. It's Satan trying to see, hey, have you let your guard down or do you got your shield of faith up? It's not a coincidence that when you go to your job, dirty jokes start coming around and people start talking perversely. It's not a coincidence when you're at school, these things start to happen. I'm telling you, he's trying to find out where you're weak. Find out if your shield has dropped any. He's trying to sift you out at your weakest point. Amen. So I've got a question for the church. What are you going to do if you leave the church one night and we had great church, but come Monday, the enemy shoots a fiery dart of depression at you and your shield is sitting back there on the wall? What are you going to do? Because you have no way to defend yourself. He caught you slacking. You've got to carry your shield out of the church with you, church. What are you going to do if you walk out and a dart of anxiety starts coming along, or a dart of temptation through pornography or worldly music starts coming along? What are you going to do if your defense is sitting in the church? You've got to take your defense out with you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's why I believe the Bible said above all, over having the shoes, above all having all the other parts, you got to have that shield. Because if you got that shield, he can't kill you. He can't keep you slacking. You can be victorious if you bring the shield of faith with you out of the church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have much longer to go, but the next part that I want to focus on is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. Ephesians calls it the Word of God. Amen. We have got to have our shield. But how are we supposed to ever gain ground in our walk with God with no weapon? Oh, it's easy to maybe link arms with brother and sister while you're under attack and just brace yourself and you can survive. But you're never going to gain ground if you can't fight back. You're not going to gain ground if you don't have the sword of the Spirit on you. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's a spiritual warfare. You can't fight it with physical weapons. So what are you going to do if you leave and the Word of God is still here on a pew somewhere? What are you going to do if you have no Bible reading time and you step out of those doors? He's coming at you, church. He's coming at you, and you better be ready. Take on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Zechariah 4 and 6 says, "It's not by my might nor by power, but it's my spirit. By my spirit saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. We have got to have the sword of the Spirit. Amen. I felt in the Holy Ghost when I was praying that sometimes it might be easy to leave our weapons here because we fall under in a rut, and we're like, "Oh, but we just fight when we go to church, Brother Micah. I'll pick it up on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. What are you doing on Monday? What are you doing throughout the day on Tuesday, though?" He's not gonna rest just because you walk out and he's gonna sit here at the altar and wait for you next week. He's still gonna keep fighting you. And I just felt that maybe someone is dealing with God has made you a promise, but you've dropped your shield a little bit, and Satan shot you with the fiery dart of doubt, and you're slowly losing ground, and your faith is diminishing, and your sword is dropping. But God has came to remind you, pick back up the whole armor of God. My promises are yea and amen. I will keep my promise. I am not a God that I should lie. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on. Maybe God has promised you a miracle. Maybe God has promised you financial success. But you've dropped your shield off at the front door. He's come to restore your faith tonight. Just make sure you pick it up on your way out. God is still going to honor his promise. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's pray right now. Come on, church, let's pray. Name. Oh, that's it. Oh, maybe if you're coming to church and this isn't in my notes, but maybe you're coming to church and you're finding it's a hard time to tap back into the vein of where we left off. Or maybe you're finding you're not getting out what you used to get out. I ask you this question. Where did you leave your sword and your shield from now in the last service? Where did you leave it? I wanted to also talk about the vein of revival. If we're hungry for revival, we see advances for some reason on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. Yet when we come Wednesday, it seems like we're struggling. It's because we've left our shields here at the church. And when we go out, the enemy starts hitting us with darts, and he starts causing us to have depression, anxiety, and doubt. Come Wednesday night, we have to try to fight back and pick up the armory. Oh, but church, I'm telling you, it's not God's will for us to lose ground between Sunday to Sunday. It's God's will to just fight. It's God's will to defend. It's God's will to see revival. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We can all stand here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wonder if we can all begin to pray right now. Oh, come on, let's pray. Lift your voices and let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, I feel like this is the next key to go where we need to go. If we want to keep gaining ground, we can't be leaving our defenses here at the church. If we want to gain ground, we can't leave our sword here at the church. But we got to make sure it's sharp before we leave those two doors. Oh, come on, that's it. It's a spiritual battle. Satan never sleeps. I'm not saying that you can't sleep. But what I am saying is we got to arm ourselves for when we're awake out there in his territory. We got to make sure that we're ready to stand against his fiery darts. Oh, that's it. Come on. Do I have any prayer warriors in the house tonight? Oh, come on. Gaining ground doesn't come easy. It doesn't come by praying quietly. It comes in war. War is nasty. War is dirty. War is violent. But the Bible says the violent take it by force. It's time for New Life Tabernacle to start gaining ground. Oh, that's it, church. Come on. Is there someone who can pray in the Holy Ghost? Is there someone who can get in the vein of intercessory prayer? Is there someone that can tap in to what God wants to do for this church? Come on. Don't let your vision be lost. Don't let your promise be lost. God has came to remind you that he'll still honor your promise. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on, that's it. That's why it's called a shield of faith. As long as you're holding that shield up, your faith is strong. It just takes a little bit of faith, just a little bit of strength to hold that shield up, and you'll make it another day. Just a little bit of faith, and your miracle can be answered tonight. A little bit of faith, and your lost loved one can be saved. A little bit of faith, and your promise comes to pass. Name. Oh, that's it, church. Come on, I'm done. I have a little bit more in my notes, but I feel like we need to buckle down and pray right here. I feel like we need to tap in tune to right here. Let's arm ourselves right here. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.